Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Hi, everybody. Welcome to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast with Sharon Lecter. We have a return guest and somebody that has become a dear friend and worked with me for years, and that is Joel Cohen. Joel, thank you for being back with us.
I'm super excited to be back, Sharon. Thanks for having me.
And you know that I like to bring you my advisors, people that help us and open doors for us, and people who keep us current. And there's nobody on my team or as an advisor that helps us understand what's happening in the world of technology, online advertising, online search, online presence and branding than Joel Cohen. Sought after by Google, sought after by lots of companies for his advice and his wisdom. And I get to call him my friend as well as an advisor. So Joel, I just appreciate, at your young age, you've got quite the bio and the connection. We talk about associations, where you have associations in spades. So I appreciate you sharing a little of your time with us today.
Well, of all the things you just said, I appreciate you saying I'm young. So thank you.
And I'd like to get started with a little bit about little Joel. So give us a little bit of your background, because folks, I think 6'8", 6'9", he's a pretty tall, big boy. So I'm
6'7", sure basketball. 6'7" and shrinking, I think, every year. So my background, really, I think when it comes to what I am doing now, really the birth of overall advertising and my interest in it came from some experience that I had with Office Max between 2002 and 2008, and being exposed to some pretty amazing initial viral campaigns, including Elf Yourself and some other components of that. And really, that's where I got my chops. But it was after the recession in 2007, 2008, that I really started to get an understanding of what worked and what didn't. And it was a passion for people within my local community, particularly small to medium-sized businesses that were being taken advantage of by people that were saying that they knew what they were doing. And unfortunately, what was happening is that, and I think a lot of people can probably understand what this is where you just put a ton of money into your marketing and it's almost like going into a money pit. You don't know where it's going. You don't know what's happening. You're hearing that everything's great, but you're not seeing anything happen from a revenue perspective. And so I had started initially a nonprofit organization called Investment U, which was just truly around being able to understand what marketing is and how it functions. That transitioned into multiple companies that helped with digital advertising and ultimately led to a partnership here in Chandler, Arizona. And that, what I found through that and in that growth that we had experienced together is that I really am passionate about just helping people understand where they are positioned and being an advisor to say, look, let's uncover where you are. Let's look at it from just a purely data perspective to make sure that you have a grasp on the reality of where you stand. And then let's talk about a strategy that's going to help you get to where you need to go. And it's not going to happen instantly. It's going to be something where we need to build out a long strategy to help you consistently grow your ROI on your marketing and know that that's actually happening. And so everything that we do at True North is about finding your true north. It's about understanding your current position, building a strategy that will help you to get the most out of your marketing dollars, and then consistently keeping you focused on getting to where it is that you want to go.
I love that. And your new reiteration of what you're doing now is True North Advisors. And for everybody listening, Joel was involved. I was involved with a company he was with before, and they helped us with some branding and some setup our site and positioning. And now he's working with us again to help us both on understanding the back end and the analytics of my site, understanding that I get the greatest lift to make sure we're doing what we're supposed to and everything's working together, which it wasn't. And so he's starting to connect the right things and getting things moving in the direction. He's also helping and going to come in and help us with our ranch a little bit. So we really value you, Joel. And that's why I like to share you with my audience, because the things that you know on the cutting edge. So share us a little bit about what's happening in the world these days and how you're on the inside track. And it's such a great to hear from you to know what's going on.
Yeah, and it's definitely, you know, I like to work with people that I'm passionate about. And I've always appreciated what you and Michael have brought to our lives. And that's, again, another component of True North, is that I want to work with people that I believe in and people that I know have the capacity for great success. And that is a big piece of it. If there are folks that I don't think, you know, have the right ability to do it, I'm going to move away. And that's okay sometimes, right? It's you have to have that right mix. And I've always appreciated our relationship because, you know, we've always been open and honest with each other. And I've always appreciated that.
Yes, I've been accused of that a few times. But, you know, when you know you're truly connected with somebody, you have that ability, that safe space to have those conversations and continue moving forward. And I'm very proud of what you're doing. I'm proud that you know, it sounds like your new company is just going great. So share a little bit about the items you wanted to reveal to us.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, there are some big things on the horizon. So 2020 has obviously been a challenge, I think, for a lot of people. And a lot of things have been delayed this year from large marketing organizations, Google included. And what I have found is that there is a gap of knowledge between what the small to medium sized business owners and those that are responsible for them in what is actually happening in the world of marketing right now, particularly on the digital side. So there are three big things I think everyone just needs to be aware of. One is that I can tell you that in all of the time that I've ever worked with Google and looked through what it is that they're doing, that this year has been the most active. They've had a heck of a time dealing with the pandemic, but at the same time, this was a year of major launch for them. Some examples of those launches: complete rebranding of all of their ancillary business programs, such as Google Meet and Hangouts, and all of these programs you'll notice have been recently, over the last month and a half to 2 months or so, they've been rebranded. They've been adding a ton of functionality to their Google Admin, Google Drive functionality as well. And so there's a large expansion taking place, but in the world of search, which is for most anybody that is selling B2B and B2C, they've got to understand what will bring them success in the search engines. And there's a couple of things that I think people need to know, and I'll keep it to the top three here. One is that there was a notification several months ago about what's called Core Web Vitals. And that is a term that everyone should be familiar with over the next several weeks to months as this begins to roll out. And really, it has already rolled out from what I can see. Core Web Vitals is a fundamental shift in the way that Google indexes websites, and they evaluate it on hundreds of different things. But now the emphasis is on user experience. And so along with things that we've always known to be the case, which is like web speed and other core components of what makes sites successful, now they're looking at how people utilize these pages using a couple of different tools that they have produced internally, and they've shared. I will say for all of anyone that is listening, if you are unaware of what Search Console is, I would say to pause and find out where yours is. Meaning, if you don't have a login to Google Search Console, it's something that you need to look at right away.
Is it possible when people have others, organizations create their website for them, that they are not given access to that Search Console, so they need to ask for it?
Well, here's what I see, Sharon. One is that people will often not have them loaded. So Search Console acts as your connector to Google. And all of the things that kind of remain a mystery within the world of digital marketing can be revealed through it. And I think I've shared this in a past podcast you and I have done together. Search Console will tell you when Google has indexed your website, how it indexed your website, the results in which you are found for your website, meaning every key term, everything that somebody typed in to find your website, and your growth or retraction with detailed reporting. And it's, I would say 80% of the time that I begin working with someone, even larger companies, they don't know that this exists. And it is because, and this is quite a claim, but I believe it, that a lot of organizations don't necessarily want you to know that truth. And so it's a major component of the data that you have to understand as a business owner to see where you're positioned overall.
And I think a lot of web designers don't even know the importance of it, is my guess, because you came in and you actually are pulling things together for us to make sure we have access to that information. And so this is a hugely important issue for all of you out there that have a web presence and a website. You want to request from your web folks access to that Search Console and make sure it's working appropriately.
Absolutely. And to your point, I think the owner looking at it themselves, as opposed to looking for it to be interpreted, is very, very important. And it's once you get in, it's actually easy to just look at the report and say, all right, am I growing or am I not? And one of the core components of that, and what's interesting is that in the last several months, as I mentioned, they added a tool so that you can see where you stand on your overall core web vitals. And so what I've seen from very large national companies to a small business is that mid-September, the game flipped, meaning that they will tell you whether you have pages that are good, that need improvement, or they're ranked as poor. And you
so
don't have to get
this is breaking news.
Right, yeah. I mean, and they tell you, they just flat tell you. Google's telling you, hey, you're good, you're not, or you're really bad, right? And so, What this report has done and what you'll see in September is a flip where pages that were once good are now needs improvement. Pages that were once needs improvement are now poor. And I'm seeing a lot of yellow and a lot of red in these reports. And it's positioning itself for the ultimate launch of this, which Google is saying will not be until the spring of 2021. Sharon, I've seen on no less than a dozen occasions over the last month or so, major shifts in what people are being found for, both positive and negative. But without a doubt, pages that are need improvement and poor, people are losing their positions overall, and they need to understand what that means.
And I think this was the tool that you helped us identify, that I had a post from 2 years ago that is right. Still really, really popular is and change your perspective. And so it really helps me think about, okay, so what is my messaging? What kind of messaging can I do now that can support the fact that that's what people are looking for? So it's good intel.
Right, for sure. I mean, we went through that experience. You never know until you look at this report, how are your potential consumers finding you? What pages are they gravitating towards? And what can you do to maximize that experience to make sure that once they get there, you're giving them exactly what it is that they need?
Exactly. I love that. And the first step, if they ask their web people to set them up on the Search Console and the web people basically say no, they should probably find somebody new, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it is without it in place, you are kind of flying blind. It's like being in a rocket ship ready to take off in many cases, but there's no fuel. And so you've got to have that connection to be able to understand what Google is telling you need to fix. It's revealing what has been for almost 20 years now, this mystery that Google is just, there are things that it does and doesn't do that we'll never understand. Google's telling you what you need to do. Here's what you've got to do to be successful. They are looking to deliver the best possible experience for their consumer too. And in order to do that, they're saying, adhere to the rules that we are clearly laying out for you here, and we will position you in a better place. And it doesn't have to be this confounded mystery overall of how it functions.
Yep. And I think, you know, with everything that's been happening, certainly the AI that Google uses is almost, for me, sometimes scary, what shows up in my feed and on my computer. So all of this change is so important for us to be able to measure our effectiveness, what's working, what's bringing people to us, so that we can fine tune, and particularly when you're advertising, understand right. that you're not throwing money in the wrong direction. So this information is so important for us to have effective marketing as well as effective messaging. Let's switch to something else you and I talked about, because you were talking about privacy. And I know that's a huge issue for me and a huge issue for a lot of people, just because of the incredible AI that's sitting in the world right now. So share a little bit about that.
Well, I think the interesting thing is, I'm going to just give a brief little history lesson on what's going on in the world of the web here, is that there was a program in Europe that launched called GDPR. And it was really about protecting within the European Union, the personal data of individuals that were going to different sites. And really, prior to, it was kind of the wild, wild west when it comes to being able to track individuals via cookies. And really, as a marketer, as a digital marketer, I can evaluate from the moment that someone got exposed to a brand to the moment that they've converted, and each one of those digital touch points in between, to evaluate what is working and what isn't, and understand how the funnel functions. It's very rare I can see someone's name affiliated to that, just to put some fears at ease. But overall, it would allow us to see a larger picture. What GDPR and what California did with the California Consumer Protection Act, or what's called CCPA, has made it so that people can control their data. Meaning, when you go to a website now, you'll typically see, particularly if you're based in California or accessing a website that is in California, that it'll say, accept all cookies or not. When you say not, at that point, the ability for individuals like myself or anybody that is working in digital marketing to see what you're doing goes completely away. We can't evaluate what it is that you're doing. And that, to me, is a good thing and also frustrating, but it's something that I want people to have control over, because this is the United States of America, right? Your data and your privacy, to me, is more important than my ability to track you. And so I think that it is leading to something that is important. Now, that said, how you institute that control from the standpoint of a business is critical, meaning that give people the opportunity to do it, but don't be so invasive that you completely block your web page, right? I've seen in examples where these pop-ups come up and you can't see anything within the whole site until you make a selection, and that's not something that you have to do. I think overall, though, it is important for people to understand that soon, based on what's happening, it's going to be very difficult from a reporting standpoint, as California's actually passed another law that will be passed in, or that will be coming into effect over the next year or two, that even furthers this effort as a whole.
Interesting. Yeah, I think it just keeps on rolling, and I think privacy has become a huge issue, and I think that's going to be interesting as we continue seeing the craziness that we have in the world on all aspects. The AI to me is just stunning. I go, wow, this is crazy. When I do a search for something and all of a sudden it's everywhere on my Facebook, and it's like, whoa.
Pretty amazing. I mean, there's a book out there called Everybody Lies, and it is the story of a gentleman that got deeply ingrained within Google's search capability and algorithm and their data. And the amount, the fascinating thing about Google overall is that it's the only It's the only entity in human history where people do not lie. When you type something into Google, you're typing in what it is that you want, and individuals don't, you're not going to go and lie to Google typically about what it is that you need. And so they now have the window to a mass human psyche, if you will, to make predictions that you otherwise couldn't, including what it is that you're going to buy, right? And they've gotten to a point where they can do it with incredible accuracy overall, which is definitely a scary thing if it was to fall in the wrong hands. I do want to mention something on AI, if I can, Sharon.
Sure, please do.
So a lot of people right now in the world of marketing use that term. And I want to just make sure that everybody kind of understands what that is. It right now, to me, is a term that gets thrown around as this capability, and that AI is going to make something better, right? So if I say, I specialize in digital marketing utilizing artificial intelligence, you hear that and you go, well, I've got to have that. That makes sense. And that's something that I want. That's got to be better than what I'm getting today, which is a human being. That is absolutely not the case most of the time. And it's something that has become just marketing slang that people use to make you feel like you're getting something that is really advanced. And let me just, I'm going to give one example. Most of Google campaigns right now are what's called smart campaigns. They utilize an AI system to help go out and make your bids for you. So digital marketers will get minimal information from you, and then they will launch these campaigns and allow the system to start learning from it. But what I've seen is that the information and the performance of these campaigns is only as good as the initial information that you gather, which requires manual input. And that is something that I've seen people, to kind of simplify it a little bit, think of artificial intelligence as a child. You have to give child information, you have to help it grow, you have to give it something that will allow it to eventually become an adult. In many cases, people are flipping the switch on artificial intelligence when it has virtually no information to go from, and these campaigns won't work well without that. So it's something important people need to be
aware of. That's a very important message. Yes. I love that. That's very important.
Yep.
And so the folks that are watching all this information, to make sure you rewind and re-listen, because Joel is the authority, not just the expert, the authority in what's happening. And he gets in information before the rest of us hear about it. And so if you're watching this as we release this, he's going to share a little bit of information that hasn't gone into the public venue yet. And if you're watching it several months, you're going to see that it just validates Joel and who he is. And now you'll probably see what he's talking about. You say, oh, gosh, this guy's in the know. So share a little bit about what we talked about before we got on air.
Yeah, so I mean, what Google has done right now is they own 93% of all searches. And that's been the case forever, long time. And it just continues to grow and grow and grow. And so there have been antitrust suits that have taken place all over the place as it relates to this. And you just haven't seen a lot of traction on any competitors. I mean, if you think of Bing as the largest competitor to Google at this point, and they own 2-3% of overall search market share, that's not much of a competitor. With these antitrust suits, what I've started to see, and based on some different types of patents that have been filed, is that I believe Apple soon will be talking about their new search engine. Google pays $8 to $9 billion a year to be the default search engine on Apple products. And the reason for that is that there are hundreds of millions of these products that are sold on a yearly basis, and virtually half of all cell phones in developed countries are iPhones in some capacity. Right? If you then replace Google as the default search engine and insert your own, and you allow it to be function in the way that Apple typically does function, that is a real disruptor. And it also changes the game overall from the world of organic search and what works. And so you'll now actually have to function on two different levels. And I'm fascinated to see if this in the coming months, you start to see a big shift towards an Apple search engine and what that will mean for businesses.
Interesting. I mean, now I've flicked back between two different web browsers based on which one is best for the application I'm looking for. But will non-Apple people owners be able to access an Apple browser? Or will you have to have an Apple device? You know,
I don't know. I mean, there's been no official detail associated to this. We've started to see it in some of the new iOS updates that there are indicators related to the fact that this is going to happen, and that'll actually be integrated into your phone where you're not even going into Safari. It is going to be essentially seamless in terms of how you search.
Interesting. That's very, and so you've heard it here first, or you're hearing it and it was prior to the public release, and so it just validates who Joel Cohen is and why I work with him. So Joel, thank you so much. You're going to hang in there with me, and we're going to do another shorter interview for the private Facebook group, the Play Big Movement. So if you're not part of the group, please go ahead and join us. And as you can see, we've shared some pretty important information today. And so please share this podcast out with your networks, and please give us a review and rate it. Because this is what my whole goal with Playing Big and Play Big Movement is to give you information that can help you play not just a bigger game, but a more effective game. And one of the things that Joel said early on when we started this podcast, and I want to just reiterate it, because everything he does, he looks at return on investment. And that's not always the case with certain digital marketing companies. You know, they aren't willing to give you any kind of return on investment support. So talk about how important that is before we close, Joel.
Yeah, I think that many times in many cases, what I see is that within reporting that there isn't associative goals set up and understanding what is giving you your return on investment. Everyone should ask, how many marketing dollars am I getting in? What are they doing for me? And ultimately, are you helping me to grow that ratio as my digital marketing or just marketing provider overall? And it's simple to do in many cases. You can do it through analytics. You can do it through Data Studio. There are tons of free tools available out there that allow you to evaluate your marketing from an ROI perspective. And from as far as I'm concerned, impressions, clicks, all that kind of stuff, it doesn't matter unless you're growing your business.
Love it. That's fantastic. And Joel, how can people find you?
Yep. So there's a couple of different ways. You can go to my website, which is truenorth-advisors.com, or you can just do a LinkedIn search for me, and you'll find my profile pretty quick. It's either me or the Hollywood director. I have not done any Hollywood movies recently, so the other one will be me.
I love that. Well, thank you so much, Joel, and hang in there. We're going to do another recording when I close off from this. And for all of you watching and listening, I hope you took good notes. Go back and re-listen to this and take action. We talk about playing big as taking action. So thank you all. Have a great day. And thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast with Sharon Lecter. Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much and have a fabulous day.